There was one kit that I understand was kind of controversial, and that involved a guillotine. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. The Chamber of Horrors guillotine was put out by Aurora, and I think they thought they were safe because they had earlier put out the Hunchback of Notre Dame kit, and the Hunchback passed muster. After all, it was based on classic literature, Victor Hugo, and also the Anthony Quinn film that didn't predate it by too much had been a big Hollywood hit. Nevertheless, it was the Hunchback was depicted with fresh whip marks on his back, and he was bound, so he was tortured. But didn't draw parental ire. But the Chamber of Horrors guillotine kit did, because it was the blade actually came down and chopped off the man's head. It landed in a basket, and then you could reset it. And I have never witnessed it in person. I've seen it on YouTube, and I have a friend who had the kit when he was a kid, and he said that he painted it all up with red blood, so sometimes the head would stick.
I presume that if people can find these kinds of materials today, that they are collector's items and can be pretty pricey. Would that be right?
Well, yeah, original kits are very pricey, and you know, especially unbuilt, unpainted, that's you know, very, very rare. But I'm grateful that some companies later did reissues, Playing Mantis for one. They did reissues struck from the original molds, and usually when I collect, I like to get, you know, the original. I don't like reprints. You know, I like to have the real thing. But in the case of the monster models, it's an okay exception with me, because once they're painted and glued, they look the same, you know. But so, of course, we collectors would rather have the original, but the reissues are lots of fun, Larry.
Just the array of material in here is just staggering. You cover the Castle films, which were Super 8 silent versions, edited versions of these feature films. You could get Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman and House of Frankenstein, for example. So this had to kind of appease people in between television showings, I guess, for those who happen to have home video projectors.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, nowadays a kid can pull anybody can pull a device out of his pocket and dial up Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, the real thing, and watch it, put in some earbuds. But back then, the opportunities were so rare. So there was a kid in my neighborhood who had a projector, and once in a while he'd put on some shows for us. He didn't have the horror movies. He had like cartoons, like Looney Tunes and things like that. But it was real something to see it and to know that this isn't being brought as a private viewing. There was really something thrilling about it, and you could watch it again, because in those days there was no VHS or DVD where you could rewind. You watched it once. That was your one chance. If you fell asleep, you might have missed Frankenstein killing somebody. So you kept your eyes open with toothpicks.
And you know, just the wide variety of merchandise that you depict in the book, because monsters made their way into toys, into games, Halloween costumes, comic books, trading cards. And then, of course, we had those two monstrous TV series from the 1960s, The Munsters and The Addams Family. Were those a result from this monster craze?
Absolutely, and they happened nearly simultaneously. The two series, the Addams Family, The Munsters, debuted within days of each other, and yet they're two season wonders, and yet we are still talking about them years later. There were many remakes, you know, new television series, movies based on the characters, a Broadway musical based on the Addams Family. They're not going away, and the originals are still the best. But these are the things that kind of sustained that monster craze. A lot of fads from the 60s, you know, died a quick death after a year or two. But the monster craze just kept being reignited by, like, you know, the Addams Family, the Munsters, and there was a lot of merchandise based on those shows. After they were canceled, it could have ended there, but then Dark Shadows came along, and once Barnabas Collins, the Empire character, caught on, then there was all, once again, this flood of merchandise. Planet of the Apes, the same thing. These franchises, and there wasn't the word franchise back then, but they kept reigniting the craze and giving it new life.
And we can probably use the term cult classics in those cases as well, because there are people to this day who collect and watch Dark Shadows. It's got its own following, and so does Planet of the Apes. I mean, there are people who really highly prize all of the merchandise associated with those franchises. Apparently, Dark Shadows had a large impact on you because you were Barnabas Collins at Halloween. That picture is in the book. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, that's my author photo, because who wants to see the way I look now, Larry? but yeah, sure. And I think it was 1968. I was 10 years old, and I used my father's putter for a cane, and Barnabas had this really cool ring on his forefinger, so I got a Cracker Jack ring and I painted it black like Barnabas's ring, and I put shoe polish in my hair for the little strands of hair that Barnabas had, and dime store fangs finished it, and I was Barnabas for a day. Yeah, that was a happy day in my life. Yeah, he was my hero.
And then in the later 70s, we get into some of the blaxploitation, the Blackula, and that kind of thing. So that's an even furthering the monsters. I mean, it seemed like everybody wanted to get in on that by that time. But that was getting to the end, I think, of the craze at that point.
Well, yeah, I draw the line at 1972, and I knew that you know, some people wouldn't agree with me. It's easy to agree on when a craze starts, because there usually is a big bang. Like the Silver Age of comics began in 1956 with Showcase number 4, the first appearance of the Silver Age Flash. But you know, it's always easy to pick that. But where does it end? People draw the line at different places. I picked 1972 because, well, for one thing, Larry, to me, it was a 60s movement. It was a 60s craze. But it didn't begin on January 1st, 1960, nor did it end on December 30th, 1969. And also, I think it's marked by innocence and naivete. I think that there's a sweetness to it, and once you had, you know, movies like The Exorcist, especially, I don't have to go into the detail there, but movies like Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, and that's where the worm turned. But like any good craze, it never dies, you know. But I cite from 57 to 72 as the golden age of that craze.
The visuals in the book, all of the merchandise that you have pictured, is most of this your own collection, or is this an amalgam of other people's collections?
Well, a lot of the stuff is fine. I have a really healthy collection of the Warren magazines with famous monsters of Filmland, Creepy, Eerie, Vampirilla, Monster World, and I have a lot of the comic books, some of the model kits. I bought the Uncle Fester puppet up a full page, an extreme close-up.
Yes,
the fourth book. I had to get him in the book, so. I think it's a pretty complete look at all of it from that period.
Where can people find the book? It's called Monster Mash, and it really is kind of a mashup of all of this history. And it's subtitled The Creepy Kooky Monster Craze in America, 1957 to 1972. Where can people find the book?
On their site, tomorrows.com, which is spelled T-W-O, Morrows, M-O-R-R-O-W-S. It's pretty easy to find on the web.
I love the book, and I'm really happy to have the opportunity to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with me. I really enjoyed it, and I hope we get to talk again sometime.
Mark Voger, author of Monster Mash, subtitled The Creepy Kooky Monster Craze in America, 1957 to 1972. It's a great book, illustrated with color images from cover to cover. You can find further information by going to the website tomorrows.com, and that's spelled TWOMORROWS.com. You can find out details about the book there. You can also find it anywhere online that books are sold, like Amazon.com, for example, among others.